Pastor Rick, welcome back to the program.
Well, it's great to be back with you. I was hearing a little a ghost transmission there at the signal, and you know that happens when you have Omega Man on in the background when you're doing the broadcast. And I'd forgotten I have several computers here in my studio that I have one of them set to listen and monitor it to the program, you know, coming up, who's on before me. And I forgot to turn that down, so all of a sudden I'm hearing this tremendous, you know, where's that coming from? You know how it is. It's an engineer thing, right? Studio stuff.
I've been there and done that one many times.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to do, man. But other than that, everything's really, really good on this end, and ready to get back to the Holy Ghost gym and do some more training, man.
Brother, that's exactly what we need, is more training, because the War of the Saints is coming, folks. Use your time wisely now to get ready. Pastor Rick, I'm going to throw the mic to you. Take it away tonight.
Well, Father, we just ask you to bless this word as it goes forth tonight. Clear the minds up of the hearers, of those who you have set and ordained this night to hear this word, so that they may be changed and touched and delivered and different from this point on. Father God, we can't do anything without you, but we can do all things through you. So God, strengthen us as we bring your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, when we talk about going to the gym and doing all of this stuff and working out, and the fight is approaching. We began to say that when we first started this series. But if you check the newspaper and see what's going on in the world, you'll see that things are escalating everywhere. Things are happening that we would, in years past, it would be a normal two-year news cycle. Now it's a two-week news cycle of things that are happening. And one of the things that the Lord instructed me to do as I was called into deliverance ministry, to start dealing in the supernatural. That means not natural, supernatural, extranatural. He told me to stay abreast of the things that were happening in the scientific world, because there were going to be great revelations made. There were going to be great mysteries revealed in these last days that we are living in. One of the things is, some of you are familiar with this CERN collider, Super Hadron Collider, and we're not going to get into all of that, but just suffice to say that, along with some developments in telescopic technology, have allowed scientists to now see what they are, and again, this is not theoretical or conjecture on my part. This is straight from the scientific community that's been peer-reviewed, which means their colleagues look at it and say, yeah, that's right. They are now saying that they are seeing something they call entities, their word, not mine, entities that are alive, that are moving, that are in space, that are outside the realm that we understand in our dimensions. All of those things that Einstein talked about and his theories, they're being proven now, because we have the quantum computing technology to decipher those things and what it really means. So now science has hard proof that there are other dimensions. The same things that we born-again spirit-filled Christians have known. We deal with dark forces. There's another world around us that is active, and it's alive, and it's real. We just don't see it usually. We get glimpses into it from time to time. But you, as a child of God, a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, a warrior, it's time to fight. The fight is close. The bell is about to ring. I would relay it to you this way. You're kind of nervous when you're on the way driving to the arena where your fight is going to be held. I'm telling you the narrative from a fighter's standpoint. You're in really good shape. You've been training for, you know, 3 months hard, and you know you're prepared for the fight. But when you get in that car to ride to the arena for the weigh-in, it's called the weigh-in, where you stand on the scales and you get take off everything except your, you know, boxer shorts, basically, and you weigh in because you have to make weight, you start getting a little nervous. You drive up to the arena and you see this, you know, big coliseum, and you start thinking to yourself, that thing's going to be full of people watching me get in that ring and maybe get beaten up. and these thoughts start coming to you. So you go through the weigh-in, and that's usually the day before the fight, simply because fighters like to have an extra day to make weight so that they can go put on an extra 20 pounds after they make weight. And that's not an exaggeration. If my fighting weight that I had to weigh in was 168 pounds, I would weigh in on that scale at exactly 168 pounds. If I weighed in at 172 pounds, I would step off the scale, put on a trash bag. I'm telling you what we do. Cut a hole in the top for my head, you know, put a trash bag over me to make me sweat, and my trainer would take me out in the parking lot and run me around for about 20 minutes so I could sweat down 2 or 3 pounds. And that's how you do it. That's called sweating down. But then after the weigh-in, after I would make the weight, then we would go and eat, and we would go put on 15 to 20 pounds. And that sounds crazy, but that's how we would do it, because we wanted to be heavier when we actually went into the ring. We wanted to have some protein and some carbs so we would have some energy. So we as Christians are at a point where we've arrived at the arena and we're at the weigh-in and we're getting ready for the fight. And it's closer than you could ever imagine. But we haven't been taking care of ourselves and training properly. And so we have a reason to be nervous. If you're not in shape, there's a lot to lose. So we're going to talk about some things tonight that are happening all around us and continue to happen with increasing regularity. Like I said, the scientists now say there are entities out there. There's something we are seeing. We're able to detect it and put it on video and capture these entities that are alive apart from time and space. Wow, that's a tremendous development. That in of itself says that there is some sort of a crack that has occurred through the dimensions. And again, I'm not going to get deep into this stuff. We don't have time to do it here. But let's just say that there is an increase in evil in the land. There has been an opening, a portal, if you will, many portals that have been created through wickedness, through open satanic worship. And you say, well, we're not worshiping Satan. Oh, did you watch the Super Bowl? Do you watch the commercials? Did you happen to flip through the Grammy Awards last night? Yeah, we're having mass services for the dark side, and it's being promoted around the world through our television sets. So yes, evil is increasing in the world. Our fight time is upon us. The problem is we haven't been eating nutritious food. We've been slowly being poisoned with a prosperity gospel that all it's going to do is have us unprepared when the fight really comes. Let me tell you an interesting true story. There are a couple of martial arts guys who are famous. You know of both of them. You probably know of one of them, and they're friends of mine. One of them is a guy named Chuck Norris, who is a martial artist, had a television show called Texas Ranger, Walker Texas Ranger. Really nice guy. Good Christian guy, actually, as a matter of fact. He and his wife are both good Christians. And another one of my friends is a guy named Bill Superfoot Wallace. And these guys were the premier martial arts superstars, probably in the 80s, you know, 80s, 90s, whatever. Superfoot, very talented guy, just a natural athlete. And Chuck Norris, of course, was, you know, a world champion karate guy. That's how he got all the TV parts and the movie parts. Good martial artists, both of them were. And listen, when I'm saying martial arts, don't go, you know, getting crazy on me. We're not talking about sitting around and worshiping Buddha and doing all that stuff. We could care less. This was just boxing. The only kind of martial arts we did was boxing where you kicked. Just like being in a boxing ring, we had about as much spiritual stuff going on with our martial arts as the boxers did. All we did was kick besides punch. So there was no difference in that. But here's how Chuck Norris and Bill Wallace are really good friends, and they were on a movie set. They were making a movie, and I forget what it was, but it was a mainstream movie. So the thing about Chuck Norris is he's always, to this day, he still is, a very, very strict eater. He adheres to a very strict diet of, vegetables and the healthy stuff. And at that time, and you'll find this crazy, Chuck Norris would not touch a cheeseburger. He would not eat a cheeseburger at all. So if you know Bill Wallace, he's the ultimate prankster and jokester and just a funny, he's the guy that'll play the practical joke on you. So because he's such a tremendous fighter, and Chuck Norris and he were training partners, Bill Wallace decided he was going to concoct a story to get Chuck Norris to eat a cheeseburger. So he told, now you'll think this is funny. It's a true story, man. The guys told me this. Chuck Norris and Bill Wallace told me this story, and we laughed about it. He said that they were on a movie set, and he started telling Chuck Norris he needed to be concerned about his joints. His joints were going to literally dry up from all that kicking. And Chuck Norris said, "What are you talking about? My joints dry." And Bill Wallace said, "Oh, yeah, when you kick like that as much as you're doing, your joints are literally drying out. You didn't know that? No one's told you that?" Well, see, because Chuck Norris really respects Bill Wallace, he listened and said, "Oh, no one's told me that. What do I have to do? Because I have to keep kicking." Wallace said, "Man, you have to start eating some cheeseburgers." He said, "Cheeseburgers? What do those have to do with anything?" He said, "The grease in them, the grease." He said, "The grease literally lubricates those joints. You got to do it. You have to do it, Chuck." And Chuck Norris believed him because this is Wallace. You know, he set him up for it all. So he took him out. They went to get, he said, "Now, the greasier the better, Chuck. It's got to be really greasy. Can't be any of this tofu halfway stuff." So Chuck Norris goes, "All right, Bill, if you say so." So he took him out. He found the biggest, greasiest, kind of like one of the fat burgers in Vegas, you know, that kind of greasy right off the griddle. Chuck and now Chuck hadn't eaten a cheeseburger. Chuck didn't eat anything like that. He none of that ever went into his stomach. So he sat and he ate this big cheeseburger. Well, guess what? He got sick. The next day, he couldn't film. He felt horrible. He felt sluggish. Now, why? And, of course, that was the big joke, and Wallace laughed, and it was a big old deal. And Chuck Norris has a great sense of humor. He didn't get mad. It was just a prank kind of thing. But what it demonstrated was, because his body was so fine-tuned to good, healthy food, that one cheeseburger, Shannon, one cheeseburger, made him lethargic and made him, he really couldn't even function or do the movie for a couple of days. He just didn't feel good.
Wow.
Yeah, just one cheeseburger cut out of that diet. So we as Christians have been fed a steady diet of junk food, nothing but junk food, for decades now. And I used to be at the front of that spiritual junk food line. Just getting the stuff that tasted good made me feel good. You know, you can eat cotton candy. It'll make you feel real good for about 5 to 10 minutes because you get a sugar rush, a sugar dump. And I'm far from a dietitian, trust me. But I know about eating from when I was fighting. We had to have a certain diet to be able to fight and, you know, make the weight. That was the big thing, to be able to make the weight at the weigh-in. But we are eating junk food as Christians, and we don't realize it. Let me tell you. I flip through the channels sometimes, to the news stations to see what's on, and I caught a Christian television show, which I can't really stomach to watch them much anymore. But I happened to land on one, and this is a guy who I've watched before. And a few years ago, I thought, man, this guy's got some good stuff. I really like what he's saying. But Shannon, something has flipped. Listen, something's flipped in the atmosphere. Things that we used to be okay with and we were right in there with them, it's not okay anymore. Something has changed. There, like I said, there's a breach in the spirit realm and the demonic forces are ramping up. So I'm watching this guy, and here's the first thing, and this just may be something that I you know, maybe I need to get through or get dealt with. But the first thing that turns me off, and I'm 56 years old, okay? Guess what color my hair is? Well, it's a little bit gray. In fact, it's not a little bit gray. It's a lot gray. When I turn on and I see a televangelist representing the gospel of Christ, and he's a 60-year-old man, and he has the face of a 60-year-old man, but his hair is jet black. Looks like he took shoe polish and rubbed it in his hair. He has sideburns that are jet black. Look like Elvis pork chop sideburns, because that's hip and in style or whatever right now. And if that's not enough, his eyebrows are jet black, and he looks like a clown on television. When you flip it, it'll make you stay on the station just to see who this clown is. And that guy is spitting out scripture, and it's all about three things: comfort, prosperity, and pride. That's all it's everything is about with him. So I'm watching, and he's supposedly a prophet of the Lord and all that. The problem is you can never get him to pin him right down on a specific prophecy. He'll give some generic, general thing, but that's beside the point. So here's this guy with his dyed jet black hair. So first of all, their credibility to the rest of the world. What do you think average people think when they see that, Shannon? I'm serious. When they see a 60-plus-year-old man, but his hair, I don't mean it's a little bit, what's that stuff they comb in, gray be gone. I don't mean that. I mean it looks like he dunked his head in a bucket of black paint before he came on. It's black. It's shiny black. Well, and I don't mean to go off on that, because, dude, but listen, who cares what color your hair is? Who cares that your hair's turned gray? You know, that's supposedly a sign of wisdom. I'd rather hear from a guy. Just be who you are, okay? That being said, his whole message, and I just watched it, said, I am going to sit and listen to this whole thing for 30 minutes and hear what this man says. Well, here's how they do it. They will take 20 scriptures, and they'll take sentences, and they'll weave them together so fast that you can't really process the scripture, because in the first place, it's out of context what they've just said and taught. And the second thing, he's on to another scripture before you have time to stop and think about scripture one that he read. But guess what all these scriptures talk about? They all talk about you getting blessed. Everything's about you getting blessed. Everything's about there is a, tremendous blessing. This is your year. 2016 is your year. This is the year. I've been hearing that since 1999 when I started listening. Every year, it's the year. Now, I say all that stuff just to say, church, we got to wake up. We've got to get our rear ends to the gym and start getting into the meat of stuff. Let me say, it's deliverance time. But it's not deliverance like you're thinking about deliverance. Okay, here's the truth of it. When you come to the gym to work out, you have a coach, a trainer. That's what I do. That's what Shannon does. That's what several of these other teachers, ministers, deliverance ministers do on Omega Man. We teach. But listen, I, as your trainer, cannot do the training for you. You can have the best trainer in the world in the history of boxing. There was a great guy, trainer named Angelo Dundee. I actually got to meet him once. He was Muhammad Ali's trainer and worked with several other people. You could have Angelo Dundee as your trainer, but if you didn't do what he said, you were going to get beaten up in there. You were going to look bad. So deliverance ministers are sent to you for a different reason than what you're thinking. And let me go into this, because this is what God has been putting on my heart to share with you tonight. Because I, as you know, I'm a deliverance minister. That's what I do. People reach out to me. They call me. They email me. They text me. They send, you know, any way they can get in touch with me wanting deliverance prayer. And God bless them. You know, it's my heart goes out to them. The truth is, there are not enough hours in the day for me to really get to all of them to do all of that prayer. And here's why. Perfect example. I'll pray for deliverance of person A, we'll say. And person A gets deliverance. Demons come out and they feel fantastic. And they're on fire for God. Well, about 2 weeks later, I'll be contacted by person A and they'll say, I was feeling great, Pastor Rick. That thing's trying to come back on me. It's doing this and it's doing that. Well, let me tell you, they're going to try to come back on you. They are always going to try to come back on you, the demons that come off of you, that come out of you. They are always going to come back looking for a house to get in that's swept clean. So the deliverance minister is going to be able to pray with you the first time, get the demons to reveal themselves so that, now hear me, this is the thing, so that you can know how to fight them off in the future. You, Y-O-U, must be the fighter. I can only be the trainer. You have to fight for yourself. Now, what I'm giving you tonight is probably the most valuable thing you're ever going to learn about deliverance. Not, you know, every deliverance minister has a different formula they'll use and they'll say different things and some of them will, you know, bind this and others will loose that. Listen, and that's fine. Whatever God gives that man or that woman how to do it, that's what they do. And I believe, you know, different ones have different revelations based on their personality and their strengths, different deliverance ministers. I believe that. But you are going to have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There is no substitute for that. You are the one who is going to have to do the work. You're going to have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In 1 Samuel 36, David was distressed. He had just gone through a major defeat. But it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. You're going to have to start to strengthen yourself in the Lord simply because unless you live in the house with a deliverance minister, you're not going to be able to reach out and get help every time that you need it. I wish it were a different way, but that's just the way it is. And really, I believe that's the way it's intended to be. Here's what I've learned a deliverance minister does. And again, this is from experience of doing it, from not knowing anything about it. If any of you know my background story and how the Lord called me into this and kind of just threw me in the ocean, and sometimes that's the best way to learn how to swim. My dad threw me in the lake when I was about 7 years old because I wanted to learn to swim. Well, guess what? I learned to swim when I got in that lake. Now, Dad wasn't going to let me drown, obviously, but he was right there in the boat ready to yank me back up in, but he put me in the water. So sometimes it's best if you just jump in and learn to swim in the deep water. So you are going to have to realize, when I started doing this, I didn't know anything, but I had to learn, which you're going to have to learn. The deliverance minister's role, more than anything else, is to identify the demons you are dealing with. Call those things up and ultimately call them out of you. Let me say that again. This is important. The deliverance minister's primary role is to identify the demons that you have that are in you, to pray with you to get those demons up and get them out. Then it is your responsibility to take it from there. That's crucial stuff. This is training in the gym. It is your responsibility once those demons have been identified. Now, why does the Lord use a deliverance minister to do that? to identify the demons? Simply because most people can't see their own demons. Most people will argue with you when you try to tell them, man, I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything, but have you noticed that this is an area you struggle in? Well, yeah, I struggle in it. It's obvious. Well, I want to tell you that there's a spiritual driver behind that. Oh, come on. I don't have demons. Christians can't have demons. You see, until the person is willing to look in the mirror and accept that they have issues. Now, issues is a nice word to say for demons. You can talk to them, you can tell them, but until they're ready to receive what you have to say, they're going to stay like the hamster on the treadmill that's going around and around and around and around and around, just going to keep on going. But when they're ready to receive the truth and they look in the mirror and they say, God, I do have a problem with this. And you know what one of the strongest chokeholds on the church today is? It's pride. P-R-I-D-E. Pride, spiritual pride. The Lord spoke something 2 days ago to me. I thought, okay, that's good. I like that. I came home and wrote it down to share with the radio listeners tonight. The Lord told me that the church in America now worships three things, three gods. Not the God of heaven, but three gods. And here's what the gods are. The church in America worships the God of comfort, the God of prosperity, and the God of pride. Think about that for a moment. That's what we worship. We worship our comfort, our prosperity, and our pride. The pride that says, I'm okay. I've got this covered. I'm good. I don't need you to tell me that I've got demons when I don't even believe that that's possible. I don't need you to tell me that. That's pride. That's a spiritual pride. And as long as you have those three components entrenched in a believer's life, hear me now. As long as there is comfort, prosperity, and pride in a person's life, they are nearly impossible to reach with the truth. The truth will set them free. Not more feel-good stuff, not more prosperity stuff, that if you'll just send me in another, you know, $3,000 right now, you're going to be blessed. Just send it in. Not that. But when those three things have a hold of a believer's life, they're comfortable, they're prosperous, and they're prideful, nearly impossible to get to them. Now, you guys listening to me, you're going to relate to exactly what I'm saying. Listen, when you came to the Lord, when you reached that point where you were ready to surrender to Jesus, one of those three were breached, if not all of them. Your comfort was either disrupted, your prosperity, which means you went broke, you didn't have any money, or your pride got broken and you got low enough that there was enough of you that decreased that you opened up for the Spirit of the Lord to begin to come in and reveal himself to you. That's the truth. Because there has to be a surrender in those three areas. Check your lifestyle tonight. Check and see. If you're really comfortable, it's real hard to be motivated to do anything. You know, that's the worst thing I can do is put a lazy boy, one of those recliners in my living room. That would be the worst thing I could do. Because guess what? I would get in it. I would get one that had a little holder where I could put the remote right next to me. And maybe a holder from my big glass of ice water I always try to drink every day, my water. And I would get in that thing, and I have some friends who have those chairs, and goodness, they're comfortable. Oh, my, 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 my. Shannon, they're more comfortable than a bed.
You know? I know some people that sleep in them.
Oh, yes. Some people who've had injuries or had surgeries, they get in them and, you know, have to sleep in them. But I'm telling you, they are so comfortable. They will just about put you in a trance when you get in them. And that's what they're made to do. That's what they're made for, comfort. So I'm telling you, we are in the equivalent of the spiritual lazy boy comfort chairs. Everything's good with us. We're prosperous. What does prosperous mean? It means you have a job. You know, nobody's really rich anymore. The days of that kind of having the big old 401k or a big nest egg to sit on, those days are just about completely gone. They're gone for most people. And if you just give it a little bit more time, that's all going to be gone, because there's going to be a major reset, quote unquote, of the financial system. It's inevitable. It has to happen. There's too much debt. You just think of credit cards, just related to credit cards. If you had 46, you know, Visa cards in your name and you'd maxed them all out, you know, at some point they're going to come and get your stuff because you're going to default. Well, we're at that point. And so there's going to be a reset financially. But as long as people are paying the bills each month and having the car they want to drive and able to watch the Super Bowl and go eat pizza wings and things or whatever, they're okay. So that component's in place. The other one is the big P, pride. And pride has dug itself into the church in ways that it's so normal now that people don't even recognize that they are completely captured by pride. They worry about what other people think. They're concerned with looking right, saying the right thing, wearing the right thing. But the strongest component of that is spiritual pride. They believe, well, this is the way I was taught, and it's the right way. This is the way my mother did it. This is the way my grandmother did it. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, we're at a time now where you're going to have to basically throw everything that you thought you knew. Now, listen to me, guys. You're going to have to throw everything you thought you knew out the window. Just like these scientists have had to do now that they have found entities. They're calling them entities. Now that they are recording them, you realize that completely destroys their theories that they had before. Their textbooks have to be rewritten because Einstein was right. There are other dimensions around us. There's a time-space warp. All that stuff's been proven true, so they are going to have to forget what they thought they knew. A lot of Christians are that way. You're going to have to forget what you thought you knew, because what you knew back then is not enough to get you through. I had in my gym one night, there was this local guy, and he was in my town. He was the tough guy of the town, and he was at a rival gym across the cross town, and they were kind of the competitors of my gym, and I didn't really, you know, think of it much as competitor. I never really wanted to be in competition with people. I always more or less wanted to kind of be aligned with them and work together. But nonetheless, so he came over to my gym one night and he wanted to prove a point that he was the tough guy in town and that I was a poser, a pretender, whatever, fill in the blank. And he came to my gym and challenged me. And that's how it was old school. That's what would happen. They'd come in, they'd challenge you. And he brought a little entourage with him. And the guy's name was JJ. Kind of like JJ Watt, you know, his name was JJ. So JJ comes in and he challenges me. It's like 7 o'clock at night. My gym's full. He's got his people with him. Now, what JJ didn't know was that I had been training for probably the last 3 years with George Foreman's boxers. I had been training with world champion boxers, that world champion, not the best kid on the block, world champion people who made $16 million, you know, a fight. So I'd been in their world doing their thing, which is a whole different world than where JJ was. So JJ comes, and he is going to prove a point. He comes to he gets in the ring. He said, okay, he's calling me out. And I said, no, I'm going to put one of my guys under me in there so it would be a little bit closer. And this is not an arrogant statement. I'm just speaking factual now, okay? So I was going to put one of my fighters in there who would be not of my caliber, that would be a little bit closer match to him so it wouldn't embarrass him so much. Because he wanted me. And I said, no, you need to, all right, I tell you what, you get through this guy and then you can have all of me you want. But I knew what was going to happen. I put my guy in there. This guy was not really a hard hitter or anything, but he had been with me. He had been in that George Foreman world. You see what I'm saying? It's a different thing. He literally, this poor JJ, I mean, he lasted about a round, and I had to pull my guy out and just pull him off of him. JJ had to go to the hospital because my guy busted up his ribs. I think he cracked his jaw. I mean, all the normal stuff that happens when you turn loose a fighter, a professional fighter, on somebody who didn't know what they didn't know. You see, JJ didn't know what he didn't know. He was real tough in his world. He was the king of his little castle. But when you come into the real world, you better know some things. And he didn't. And he didn't know what he didn't know. What I'm here to tell you, my gym people, my church Holy Spirit gym people, a lot of you don't know what you don't know. So what I want to tell you tonight is when you get that deliverance man or woman to pray with you and get you started, then you have to recognize what demons were called up and out of you. If a man of God or a woman of God who you respect says something to you, listen, take it to heart, listen to it. Radio like this is an amazing exposure tool. And what I mean by exposure, does that mean I'm on the radio around the world and I get exposed to a lot of people? Not really. I mean, yeah, that's true. People from all over the world will be hearing this for years to come. Right now it is, what is March? No, we're still in February, 2016. There will be somebody listening to this in 2019. That's how it works. When it has something called archives, there, it's out there forever. But when you begin to move in the Holy Spirit stuff and you hear people on the radio, you know, prophesying, when people call in and these people give them a word and it ends up being exactly right, you can't fake that. That's not fakeable. It's the real deal. When you know ministries that have deliverance, that is what they do, that's the real thing. Listen, when those people tell you something, listen to what they say. Take it to your knees, to your prayer closet, because let me tell you, the deliverance minister doesn't have anything to gain by telling you this stuff. They are not looking for your money, because most of the time you don't have any money. Satan has seen to it that you're broke most of the time, right? Am I right, Shannon?
That's true.
He has seen to it, among other things, that your finances are tapped. So the deliverance minister is not looking for any kind of financial reward from you. They have nothing to gain. They're going to tell you the truth. When they tell you that truth, you submit to what they say and get that deliverance. Then, when they're gone and you're home, and those demons try to start creeping back in on you, you have to say, wait a minute, I recognize this thing that's coming back on me. I recognize I have a problem with fill in the blank, whatever it is. Oh no, I have a problem with that, and I am going to fight that maybe until Jesus comes and gets me. But that's something I'm going to have to fight, because those demons are going to keep coming back. That's probably one of the greatest misconceptions of deliverance. And you can ask any deliverance minister who's done this for any length of time, and they'll tell you. Getting the demons out's not the hard part. What's the hard part, Shannon? Keeping them out.
That's right.
It's not getting them out. They'll come out. They'll throw a little fit usually and do a little tap dance and come on out when the deliverance minister, because they don't have any choice in that matter. That power of the deliverance minister is walking in is stronger than they have. So they got to obey that thing, and they will. Depending on how willing the person is to be delivered. You know, the person has to be willing to get out of agreement with the demons that have them. That's the problem. We end up getting in agreement with our demons. I know that sounds foreign to some people, but it's the fact. What are the gods that America worships? Comfort, prosperity, and pride. And there are demon forces attached to each one of those with a whole lot of other little soldiers under them. The big one may be Comfort, but then he may have 16 sergeants under him, and it's a military hierarchy type thing. So when you're given a word by a deliverance minister, take that word, and you have to know the fight's not over. You've just had round one. I'm going to say that again. When the deliverance minister has identified the demons that are in you, and you know that he's right because he'll say something, she will say something that causes you to go, well, that's exactly right. How would they know that about my life and my childhood? Warning, warning, that's when the Holy Spirit's telling you these are the demons. They've nested, they've hidden well inside you. But those are the ones you need to know you're going to have to fight because it's only round one. You're going to have to fight round two, and then you're going to have to answer the bell for round three. You following what I'm saying? Then you're going to have to come out for round four. It's a fight. You're in a fight. The demons, in most cases, are not going to just quit and go away. In fact, I can say I've never seen them just quit and go away. They will be banned for a while, but they will try to come back and get back into agreement with you. Let me rephrase that. They'll try to get you back into agreement with them. See, they're not going to agree with you, but they're going to get you to agree with them. The demons aren't going to compromise for you. They're going to get you to compromise for them. See what I'm saying? That's how it works. They're going to play you. The game is going to be on you. You're going to get gamed in this thing. So when the deliverance is done, you're going to have to recognize what those forces were, what were the demons, and then start to put up, and the Holy Spirit will show you how to do certain things. There are going to be certain people in your life, almost always, that you're going to need some boundaries with. You're going to need them out of your life. When you get deliverance, if you want to keep deliverance, there are going to be relationships you're going to have to take a serious look at, and some of those you're going to have to put them down, and here's why. I don't know if you've ever caught the flu from someone. I have. I think everyone probably listening to this has had the flu at some time in their life. How do you catch the flu? Somebody sneezes around something. You touch a doorknob that someone's had the flu that touches. In other words, it's a contagious disease. You know, when we were kids, Shannon, if somebody in the house had the flu, everybody was going to have the flu because that's how it worked. Demons move the same way. There are people in your life that have a proverbial demonic flu, okay? That whenever you get around them, they're contagious. And even though you don't physically get into agreement with them, your spirit gets into a form of agreement with the spirits on them. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There are people in your life, in your past, that you can just be around. And there doesn't have to be any fireworks or any kind of discord. You can just be around this person for any length of time, an hour, 30 minutes. And you leave there and you go, man, I just feel depressed, or man, I just kind of feel hopeless. Man, I just feel tired. I just feel lethargic. Man, I just feel confused. You ever had confusion, Shannon, after you would spend time with a certain person and you couldn't make decisions after that? You'd just be confused.
Spirit of confusion is real.
It's real. And these things are contagious. Okay, so I'm telling you, you're not, unless you're independently wealthy, and you can live like a hermit and never have to get out amongst people, which I don't recommend you do that anyway, because you can't minister to people if you don't have some sort of contact with them. You know, if we had our druthers, Shannon and I and maybe a few others, we just go to a cave somewhere if we had $60 million, and we just have praise and worship all day and just have the greatest thing, not have to deal with this mess that's coming on the world. But that's not what we have to do. We have to minister to people. We have to have contact with people. So you're going to have to be out in the world, and the world is contagious. It's demonically contagious, which means you're going to track home germs every day of your life. You know, you have to wash your hands to keep from getting the flu and getting all that stuff. Wash, 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 wash your hands. My wife works in a dental office, and it's a lot, you know, about washing hands all the time. Any of you guys and girls that work in the medical industry, it's all about hand washing all the time, hand washing. But you're going to have to spiritually keep your hands clean. And again, that doesn't mean that you physically touch something and catch something. You don't have to touch anything. The spirits travel in the air. But there are certain people that if you get into agreement with them in any way, that sometimes means just an agreement of friendship, then there's going to be a doorway, an entrance back into you for those spirits that you were delivered of. And I want you to recognize what those spirits were. That's very important, that you recognize what your issues were. What is your... Most of the time, there's a strong man who's in charge of all the other smaller demons that are supporting the role of the strong man. In other words, a demon of, let's say, anger. He's at the top of that pyramid. Well, under him may be a demon of pouting and a demon of getting quiet or a demon of revenge. You know, I'm going to get that person. Or a demon that makes you lay awake at night in bed thinking about what you're going to say to this person the next time you see him, and building this whole elaborate conversation in your head. Okay, those all work under that main spirit of anger. So what I'm telling you guys tonight, identify what that main driving force is, and then you will start to see all of the little cockroaches under that demon that are dug themselves into different areas of your life. You'll start to see that. My case, let me just, you know, this is a transparent thing here. I'm trying to help some people, and it's not about any pride on my part. My thing, that strong man in my life, was that need for affirmation. Now, let me tell you where that came from. Well, I was given up for adoption when I was born. I was born out of wedlock to a little 16-year-old Catholic high school girl, and my dad was a football star at a different high school across town. So I was given up. Rejection. Root got planted. Grew up with it. My parents, who adopted me, were good people, but they were alcoholics. Some of you know the story. Some of you have heard my testimony. I grew up in a double alcoholic home. Not usually there's one alcoholic parent and the other one's kind of the caretaker. I had what the psychologists call the double alcoholic, the double whammy. So I grew up really raised myself because alcoholics can't raise you. Now, my parents were able to provide financially because they were what I call country club alcoholics. They had a successful business that they made money, and we always had things that we needed, but they were absent because they were always drunk at home constantly. So I grew up with this demonic stronghold of a need for affirmation because, you know what? I couldn't get it from my family. Drunk people are not capable of affirming you, Shannon. They're not capable. So I spent my life with this demon that drove me to be a people pleaser. Why was I a people pleaser? Because I needed affirmation from people. Drove me to get people. I would do anything I could, which is really, it's a good thing to do as long as the motives are right, but I would do anything I could to try to help someone, to make them better, to give them something, that's good if it's done in the right motive. But my motive was from a sense of a demon driving me to say, you better do this so you can get some approval from them. Well, guess what? When they thanked you and said, that's the greatest thing, you're the nicest guy, that didn't scratch that itch I had. So I had to go find someone else to get me more approval. Because it's a never-ending black hole that can't be fed when a demon is in charge of you and there's an area in your life where you're deficient, you can't fill that hole with anything but the Holy Spirit and Jesus. So my thing was that need for approval, that rejection spirit was at the top. Under that were all of these manifestations of that top spirit. All of these ways that spirit would produce the fruit in my life of his wickedness. The fruit. I would act out in all these ways to get approval, to get someone to connect with me. Now, that's just my thing, but I'm saying that because I want you guys to recognize, you need to recognize the hierarchy in your life, the demonic hierarchy, because if you don't recognize it, you cannot dismantle it, and you must begin to dismantle that demonic hierarchy so that you can walk and live in freedom, and it works. This stuff works. I'm going to say it one more time. This stuff works, but you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And as David did, you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can't depend on a deliverance minister or a pastor or a church anywhere to do it. That won't work because they don't live with you. They don't come home with you. They're not in your head. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to take every thought captive and start to dismantle, because you have the power to do that. Every believer, every spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit person listening to me has the exact same power available to them that I have, or that Shannon has, or that all the other deliverance ministers have. You have the same power. You just may not have the experience in using that power, but you have that power. So what I'm telling you is, in whatever way that you have to do it, you get up and look in the mirror every day and say, okay, I know what my hierarchy issues are. I know what my hierarchy demonic strongholds. And this day, I'm going to see you coming, Satan. I'm going to see those setups that you're going to set traps for me. And I'm not going to get back into that. Hallelujah. Shannon, is this making sense to you?
Great word tonight.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. Well, let's call this thing the poison of the prosperity gospel. The poison of the prosperity gospel. And the one takeaway I want everyone to get from this is just realize, when you, if you are fortunate enough to be involved with a deliverance minister and you get to contact them, they're going to usually expose what you're dealing with demonically. They're going to call it out. Sometimes it'll come out, sometimes it won't. But you got to go home and live with you. They don't. So you're going to have to learn how to do self-deliverance. What are you talking about, self-deliverance? Is there some formula? No. Get in that word, fill yourself with that word, and understand the hierarchy of the demonic stronghold in your life. It won't be the same as in your friend's life, your husband, your wife's. It's going to be your issues. So look and be honest, brutally honest with where you are. Listen, there's no other way besides that. Nothing else will work. I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't want to burst your bubble. Nothing else is going to work other than you examining your own life, closing your own doors. No one else can close them but you. But if you do that, this will work for you. Will there be skirmishes? Will there be rematches, so to speak, where they come back at you? Yeah, those are going to happen. Some days they're going to be an onslaught of attack, but you know what? The next day is going to come, and you're going to be back strong if you'll just stand. Don't fall. You're going to get knocked down sometimes. Get on back up, dust yourself off, and recognize that it's exactly what it is. That spirit is trying to come back on you. Don't be ashamed of it. Deal with it, okay? That's what a champion fighter does. Don't be ashamed of it. Deal with it. Get in its face and deal with it. Amen?
Amen. Right now, word tonight. You know, brother, that's exactly what we've got to do. Got to get some deliverance and then go out and help others get set free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And learn all you can now while you can, because War of the Saints is coming. Will you be ready? We want to be ready. I've actually started training in the evening, going through, instead of going to Netflix,
yeah,
going to YouTube and listening to some great deliverance teaching and training, right. Learning more. Every time you listen, you'll catch something you didn't hear last time. I was listening to Derek Prince last night. You know what? I've got to use my time wisely, because there may be a time where the time to train's over, folks. And what you've learned is what you got to work with. So it's time to go to the Holy Ghost gym right now. Begin to train. because Mike Tyson is coming for you.
perfectly said, Shannon. And listen to what he said. I want to reiterate that. You have a tool that no one has had in the history of the world until the last few years, and that's that stupid little red TV that says YouTube. That thing is a tool that will educate you. It will give you more Holy Spirit teaching than you could have ever gotten anywhere else. There was never a platform several years ago when I was doing my corporate thing. We longed for some sort of video delivery platform because we knew the power of that. In those days, it was real expensive and real difficult, and you had these bandwidth issues, and you had this server that had to host all this, and then all of a sudden, this thing called YouTube started coming. It changed everything. So you have that at your disposal. You're going to have to get in the gym, like Shannon says, and start training yourself. You don't know what you don't know. And there's a tremendous deficit in the land, because if you've been in the church for the last 15 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever, like I was, you don't know anything. Let me say it won't. You don't know anything. You may have a lot of scriptures memorized. I'm glad you do. But unless you've done spiritual warfare with your hierarchy of the demons that have a hold of you, you don't know anything. That's not meant to discredit you or to say anything that's going to criticize you. I'm trying to get you to wake up. I'm the coach, and I'm in the gym, and I'm telling you, you're not hitting hard enough. You're going to have to work harder if you want this. What Shannon's saying is that the clock is ticking. And when we say that these resources will not always be available to you, trust us, they are not going to always be here. Things are going to happen, and these resources are going to be shut down. They're going to be choked off. Because the enemy, this is the worst thing that could happen to him, is you to become educated. He does not want you hearing what I'm saying tonight. Because he knows you're getting empowered to deal with those strongholds. He doesn't care if you go to church every Sunday. Because you're serving the God of comfort, prosperity, and pride. And that's just the reality we all have. That's the American way. We've gravitated into that. Again, if you give me my own way, I'll get a lazy boy, and I'll be sitting in it in the living room, just like we joked about. If you give me exactly what I want to do, I'll have Netflix on, and I'll be watching the Andy Griffith Show or whatever, But we can't do that. We've got to get disciplined now, because all hell is breaking loose. If you haven't noticed, all hell is, not is about to break loose, it is breaking loose. In fact, it's happening so fast, you can't even commentate on it anymore in the news. Every day, no one's ever seen anything like this. That's what you hear over and over, unprecedented, unheard of. That's what the commentators say. We've never, ever seen anything like this, never faced anything like this before. And there is so much to know. And we have been so dumbed down as a church, as God's people, we have been on a retardation program. And that's not a disparaging thing, I'm telling you. We have been going in reverse. We have been regressing. And we've hit a point where there's a great divergence. There's a line of demarcation that's happened. And this is what's going on. And for those of you out there who are awake and you're getting what I'm saying, you're clicking with this, there has been a tremendous change in the atmosphere. And you, sir, you, ma'am, who are awake, you're getting tremendous downloads right now that you've never gotten before. You're getting understanding. Things are opening up to you like you never dreamed of, because it's happening to me and it's happening to people that I know who have opened their mind and their eyes to see the truth. Now, the other part of us who have, don't get this, and their common response, I like to say, is, I don't know about all that. Yeah, that's quote unquote, that's extreme, quote unquote. Yeah, Rick, he gets out there pretty far, man. Woo, you bet I'm out there. I'm trying to be so far away from that church doctrine that it's the farther away I can get, the more I can get the truth. So the ones who are not awake, who are still that sleepwalking church, they're getting more entrenched. They're not waking up, Shannon. They're getting taken more captive because that thing that I told you 6 months ago, the Lord showed me, if you haven't dealt with your demons are going to start dealing with you more and more. They are going to take over your life. If you have not learned these things we're talking about and started to address them, those demons are going to strengthen in you because there's a demonic stronghold in the world that's increasing. And you're losing ground right now. If you're not clicking with what we're saying, if you're hearing this and you're going, I don't know about all that. Listen to me. There is a demon spirit telling you that. You are captured, sir, ma'am. You are captured, whether you realize it or not. You've been captured by the enemy. Now, if you're listening to this and go, I've never heard this stuff before, and you know what? Something about that's ringing true in me. There's something in me that wants to hear more of that. That is that wake up. You're going to get this stuff. If you'll open up and receive it, it'll change everything about everything you thought you knew, because that stuff is not going to get you through what's coming. Amen. I ran over. I didn't mean to, but I get going on this stuff, and Shannon, it's iron sharpens iron. I get with you on here, and it's, you know, another man of God, and we it just goes, because this word's got to get out there, and I feel more emphatic about it every week. How about you?
Brother, we have to. Everything you said tonight is true. Things are speeding up and ramping up, and I can feel the pressure. And folks, we've got to become overcomers. The way we're going to do that is we need to be investing our time wisely right now in the Word of God, training in spiritual warfare, building up our confidence, doing it, and then we're going to be able to stand the day of trouble. If you're coming in late tonight, I want to encourage you to get this in the archives before we close and move on the marathon tonight. Pastor Rick, I want you to give out your website. Tell people about your radio program and how they can make contact with your ministry and support it, please.
Yeah, my website is heavenlywarriors.com, HEAVENLY, Warriors, WARRIORS.com. And you can email me. Probably the best email to get me is rickteaches@aol.com. That's Rick, R-I-C-K. That's my name, Rick Bell. Teaches, T-E-A-C-H-E-S, @AOL.com. And just shoot me an email or go to the website. There's a little PayPal button there. That, again, we don't do this for money, but any kind of support helps because it just stays right in there and goes right back into ministry stuff. But, yeah, that's that, man. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Pastor Rick, keep up the good work, my brother. It's an honor to serve alongside with you. I appreciate you taking the time to come on here and bring the word of the Lord. And I want to encourage people to go to heavenlywarriors.com, support the ministry. And we'll see you next time, my friend. We love and appreciate you.
We love you guys. Thanks, Shannon.